So the country's longest government shutdown has come to an end, and there's word today that America's longest war could be ending. The U.S. has been fighting in Afghanistan since the September 11th attacks, which were launched by Saudi terrorist Osama bin Laden from his hideout in Afghanistan. The New York Times is reporting that the U.S. peace envoy to Afghanistan has negotiated the framework of a deal under which U.S. troops would leave the country in exchange for a ceasefire pledge from the Taliban, which has been fighting to get back into power, and a promise from the government not to allow terrorist groups like bin Laden's or ISIS based there. Aaron David Miller is Middle East Program Director at the Wilson Center and a past advisor to secretaries of state in both Republican and Democratic administrations. Aaron, welcome back.
Always a pleasure, Robin, truly.
Well, when we've spoken before, you've reminded us that there are different strains of the Taliban, but they are a fundamentalist group. They ran the government before the U.S. and allies unseated them. We're reading that women, in particular in Afghanistan, are petrified at this deal. They see it as, you know, letting the Taliban back into power. Your thoughts?
I mean, I think the standard for victory in one of America's two longest wars was, in my judgment, never could we win, but when could we leave? And that's always been the fundamental problem with our Afghan strategy. We searched, I think, for a way to find a foundation on which to extricate the United States from an unwinnable war. And it looks to me like the first serious effort to create such a framework now exists. My friend and former colleague, Zalmay Khalilzad, is a very talented negotiator. I just think the realities of the Afghan situation, and if I were an Afghan woman, I would be uncertain, to say the least, and probably terrified. Because our leverage to affect this situation, perhaps now is relatively strong, 14,000 forces isn't 100,000, but we've made a commitment. But if, in fact, this deal is reached over time, I just don't see how we are going to sustain any of the objectives that comprise the element of this deal, an Afghan reconciliation between Pashtuns and Hazaris and Uzbeks, a way to mitigate or block Pakistan's efforts to support the Afghan Taliban. And then, of course, the issue of transnational jihadis, what to do about al-Qaeda and their derivatives in the country. But I do believe, hopefully this process will be much more, won't be diplomatic and strategic malpractice like the president's decision to withdraw from Syria. But I suspect on balance, I would support a decision to leave.
Yeah, well, we are reminded that when troops did go to Afghanistan, of course, in the post 9/11 fervor, many said it could end as it did for the Soviets with withdrawal and the Taliban coming into power as they did. Do you see the Taliban coming into power? And is that necessarily a bad thing? Because some that have come to the table, you know, in the past to negotiate have not been of the more, you know, violent fundamentalist thread.
I mean, I think it's going to be hard to know and hardly make a judgment on what the character of the Taliban will be once they return to power, and I suspect they will. But I think you're going to have to figure out a way to reconcile all of the cleavages, all of the differences, all of the issues relating to government mismanagement, corruption, the drug trade. I think it's impossible for me to see a situation in which minorities, women, and the future of Afghanistan is going to be made any better if, in fact, the Taliban, the Afghan Taliban, come to dominate the country.
But you do believe it's untenable for U.S. troops to stay there?
I mean, with 100,000 troops, we couldn't achieve our objective. What makes us think that with 14,000, right, we could? What's the real key strategic interest of the United States? It's avoiding Afghanistan from becoming a sanctuary from which a variety of transnational jihadi groups, including ISIS and al-Qaeda, would launch attacks against our allies in the region and against, of course, against the United States. But I would point out one particular point 18 years after 9/11, and that is there is no direct causality necessarily between sanctuaries and the security of the United States. Those 19 hijackers got into the United States illegally, trained at U.S. flight schools illegally, crossed U.S. borders 68 times. And the 9/11 report makes this extremely clear. We need to ensure that our first line of defense is here. The notion that we'll kill them over there before they come here is very fraught if the instruments of American power are boots on the ground. And that is true in Iraq, that is true in Syria, and in my judgment, it's true in Afghanistan, too.
That's Aaron David Miller, Middle East Program Director at the Wilson Center, past advisor to secretaries of state in both Republican and Democratic administrations. Aaron, thanks as always.
Robin, thank you.